Hello, hello. Welcome back to Peak Northwest, an outdoors and travel podcast by the Oregonian and Oregon Live, dedicated to the adventure and exploration of our beautiful Pacific Northwest. I'm Jamie Hale.
And I'm Vicki Connor. Together, we take you to some of the most beautiful and interesting destinations in our region, discussing where to go, what to do, and places to see. And today we are heading up to Washington to chat about my trip to Bellingham, followed by my very first snowshoeing experience on Mount Baker a few weeks ago.
Oh, Vicki, I'm super excited to hear about all of this because this is an area in Washington, sort of like the far northern end of Western Washington. I have not spent really any time in. I've seen Mount Baker from afar, not gone up on it. Bellingham, I think I went to once as a teenager, but I don't really remember a lot about it. So I'm super excited to learn some new information about this little corner of the Northwest.
Yeah, going off of that, this was kind of my first trip this far north. You know, it's so far north. It's like super close to the Canadian border. And so I hadn't ventured up quite that far yet, really. The furthest north I had been is kind of like Seattle, basically. So going up there, exploring new territory was something that I wanted to do for a while. And my friend Sydney, who I've mentioned many times on this podcast, she's kind of like my adventure partner. A few weeks ago was her birthday. So we decided we wanted to do something fun, get out of the city, do something outdoors. And we decided on snowshoeing and kind of exploring the places on the way up.
Well, happy birthday to Sydney. how did you all settle on that particular region? What drove you up there?
I think specifically Sydney wanted to check out Mount Baker. And since neither her nor I nor her roommate had really been up that way, it's something that she wanted to do. I kind of let her take the reins on this and planning her own birthday trip. But I think she also found this specific trail for snowshoeing on Mount Baker. And the views were supposedly really great. So she's like, all right, let's do this. She and her roommate hadn't really done a lot of snowshoeing either, weren't that experienced in it. And the trail she chose was not, you know, miles on miles on miles. It was something a little accessible. So that is how we decided to go up there.
Amazing. Okay, well, so take us to the start of this trip here. You, I assume, drove up to Bellingham?
Yeah, so basically Friday night after work, I drove up to Seattle to meet her and her roommate, stayed the night there, and then we got an early start Saturday morning driving from Seattle to Bellingham. And that trip really is a lot shorter than I expected. For some reason, I thought it was going to be like over 2 hours, but it was an hour and a half, and it really wasn't bad at all. So we got to Bellingham, and the first thing we did was exploring like the old downtown historic Fairhaven, nice. Which has some really cool downtown shops, really nice plant shops, kind of just cool shopping to browse, window shop. And they had like a chocolate festival going on, which was really cool to walk into.
Good timing.
I know, I know. Well, bad timing because you could only do it if you signed up ahead of time and we didn't know it was going on. So we got there and we're like, well, damn, maybe next year.
I think that's like one of my favorite things to do in these small towns when you get to them. Walk around the downtown area. Get the vibe of the place, check out the shops. Yeah. So like, what was the vibe of Bellingham when you were there?
So, well, Fairhaven specifically was kind of different from like the downtown area of Bellingham. So okay. Fairhaven was kind of like, you know, had an older, slower feel to it. It felt a lot more historic. And, you know, it wasn't quite as busy as like downtown Bellingham. Bellingham, once we got down to the downtown part, saw a lot more college students there from the university nearby. It had, you know, coffee shops and kind of like a mix of quirky shops. You know, I had heard a lot of things going into this trip about like, oh, Bellingham has this really cool vibe of like outdoorsiness and college kids and just like quirky, cool stuff. But it was interesting, like I definitely got that like college town vibe and just very interesting stores. Can't quite compare it to Portland. I don't know. Do you remember a lot when you went to Bellingham?
No, I remember nothing. Okay. So I'm relying solely on this account to get to paint my image of Bellingham. Well, so you talked about some shops. Or were there some places to eat? Where did you go to eat there?
Okay, yes. And I will talk about this place for the rest of time. It was so good. We got Russian dumplings at a place called Pelmeni Restaurant. And apparently it's open till like the middle of the night. It's kind of one of those places for college kids to go after a night out. And all they have on their menu are these dumplings. And I had not had Russian dumplings before, but they had your choice of meat dumplings or potato, or you could get a combination of both. They were so good. Like tender, just had some spices on top and like some sour cream to dip them in. And, you know, going into a place that only has like two things on the menu, you're like, all right, well, I'm guessing it's going to be really good if this is all they have. And it was so yummy.
Oh my God. That's such a crucial find, a late night place too. That's like so nice to have.
Yeah. Yeah. We also stopped in a place called Accomplice, which was kind of fancy new age burger joint that had a fun little vibe to it. And, you know, they had things like bone marrow, like truffle fries and kind of just like fancier burgers and fries than your normal that you had run into. So that place was pretty good too, but really enjoyed Mallard ice cream. They had homemade ice cream there. Amazing. Amazing. But one place that was kind of like just south of Bellingham that we ran out of time, I wanted to visit, was a place called Taylor Shellfish. And I know that there are multiple locations in Seattle, but this is like the one that's right on the water. You basically go for amazing views and like the freshest of the fresh seafood, great oysters I've heard. So want to hit that up next time.
It's always nice to have a place to go next time to bring you back into a town. Yeah. I always like to like leave little things undone so that I can like that tempt me back another time, you know?
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, so you have this great day and evening and night in Bellingham. Is it sort of like you're there for the night and then the next day you're going off to Mount Baker?
So we were there for a good part of Saturday during the day. After we ate through Bellingham, there is a park in Bellingham called Whatcom Falls, which was really beautiful, waterfalls and like very light hiking to, you know, walk off the food that you just ate. Nice, like long picturesque bridge, and just walk around and explore a little bit. So that was most of our day on Saturday. And then from there, we took like a 45-minute drive to our Airbnb, which was in Deming, Washington. Basically, our Airbnb was like halfway between Bellingham and Mount Baker, where we wanted to snowshoe.
Perfect. What was the Airbnb like?
Airbnb was cool. It was like a little cabin in the woods, had a hot tub, like all the interior had like, it was just like wood everywhere. Had a nice little fireplace heater on the inside. And it was super lovely, two stories. And basically where we were for the Airbnb, it was just kind of raining all weekend. And so we were like, I don't know. Like, is it even cold enough to go snowshoeing? Like, will there be snow? Obviously, spoiler alert, there was a ton of snow. But the Airbnb was quite nice. There was nothing really around, though. So we made sure to stock up on groceries and everything in Bellingham and then, you know, brought all that to our Airbnb.
That's perfect. You had me at hot tub with that Airbnb.
Yeah. I feel like anytime you're doing like snow related things, a hot tub is so key to a good time, a good weekend.
Definitely. Wow. So, okay. So imagine you got a nice night relaxing this Airbnb. How early even a start did you have to get the next morning?
You know, we didn't have like a crack of dawn start. I think we left like the Airbnb around 8:30 and then got to Mount Baker a little after like 9:30. And so basically we went to Mount Baker and the trail was right next to the ski lift. So as you like start this trail, you can see all the skiers and the snowboarders like coming down, which was pretty cool. And then the trail like diverged off.
Is this like at a ski resort at Mount Baker?
Yeah. So it's right next to Mount Baker ski area. So from our Airbnb, we took a long winding road up. And then by the time we got to the trailhead, it was absolutely dumping snow. Like it was whiteout conditions. You could not see a thing. So luckily I brought all my, like, I don't even have snow gear. Like I am not someone who is a skier or a snowboarder. And you know, so I don't have a ton of gear. So basically I layered a bunch of like my puffy and then like my rain shell and the same thing with my bottoms. And then I had like my hiking boots. And then we rented snowshoes from REI. And it was my first time like, you know, snowshoeing at all. So putting those on, you know, pretty simple. And then I had my hiking poles as well, my trekking poles.
So you said you rented the snowshoes from REI. Like, was that an easy process, or how much did that cost?
Yeah, it was super easy. Got them from REI for 2 days. I think it was like $23. And we got them from the Seattle store, the flagship store downtown. So from there, it was honestly, yeah, a very seamless process, super quick and easy. And if you don't have trekking poles, you can also get them there as well.
Nice. Okay, well, so you said that Sydney had picked a trail that wasn't too difficult. What's the name of the trail? Where are y'all going?
Yeah, this is Upper Lodge to Artist Point. It's about 4 miles and 1,000 feet of elevation gain. And we had seen the pictures online. We're like, oh my gosh, these views are incredible. Like, so picturesque at the top. So we're like, okay, this is the one. We're going to do it. Make this first snowshoeing trip, like, really beautiful. And so we start snowshoeing and, like, it begins out flat. And then we were like, hauling butt straight up for a good bit. And, you know, I think you kind of have to get used to the snowshoes kind of, because like your heel comes up and then, you know, it just feels different, obviously, than hiking, whether you're hiking with or without snow, just having these like huge things on your feet, you kind of feel a little funny walking in them. And, but like once you get in the groove, I didn't think it was that much harder than hiking, in my opinion. I feel like your body just kind of gets into the groove of walking. You got the poles, you got the snowshoes, and I was thinking more of like, how am I going to make it up this big hill that I'm going on?
How was the snow as you were walking on it? What was that condition like?
You know, it really, I think I've done some like hiking in the snow just with micro spikes when I should have been wearing snowshoes. And so I really liked the lack of like punching holes in the snow was really great. So I think because I had that experience, I did Dog Mountain in the snow with just micro spikes on to a certain point where I couldn't even do it anymore because I needed snowshoes. But having that experience of like absolutely not enjoyable hiking in micro spikes in the snow compared to this, I was like, oh, this is so fun. This is so easy. Like, this is a great time. And because it was actively snowing, like it was just kind of powdery. Nothing was too iced over.
That's my understanding with snowshoes. The one time I went snowshoeing, it was a little crunchier, a little icier. And the snowshoes, I was like, I don't even need to be wearing these. I could just be in my regular like waterproof hiking boots.
Yeah.
But when you're on that powder, it seems like that's a time when the snowshoes are really, really good, right? And it sounds like that's what you experienced.
Exactly, exactly. And I will say, especially because it was snowing so hard when we were there, like it was pretty essential that you downloaded, you know, a trail map before you went out there. Because at the beginning, at a certain point, like there are a ton of people around, you know, it's at this ski area. So you're with a bunch of people. Not only were there other snowshoers, but a lot of people were Nordic skiing as well. And so you start out with like this mass of people and then like the trails branch off. And so at a certain point on this trail, we were the only ones around at all. And it felt like we were on another planet because these were whiteout conditions and you couldn't see like anything around you. It was just snow. It felt crazy. So that was kind of fun, a little scary, but we're glad that we could, like, you know, cross check with the map on our phones, make sure we were, like, not on the complete edge of a cliff somewhere and staying on the trail. Also bittersweet, though, with those winter conditions was that, like, you could not see the view at all once we were at the top. So we're like, oh, well, that's unfortunate. Especially because going into it, I was thinking, oh, like, I'll take this cool video, like, documenting my first snowshoeing trip and, like, show these crazy views. Like, if I showed anyone these clips, you couldn't tell if I was, like, you know, in the backyard of somewhere in, like, Alaska or, you know, whatever. You can't see anything. But I will say it was still super fun, really enjoyable. And I'll recount what I said. In the time that I was actually snowshoeing, I was like, oh, this, like, isn't so bad. Like, it's not as hard as I thought it was going to be. And then the day after, my legs were killing me. Like, my hamstrings, the back of my legs, like, clearly did a lot of work.
I had that same experience. I found that, like, my body, like, it was an easy enough motion to do. My body wasn't used to, like, that little bit of extra weight on the feet.
Yeah.
And, like, I had, like, blisters in the backs of my heels from, like, where my shoes were, like, slipping down because they weren't used to the extra amount of weight. And, like, it was just, it's easy. People say, like, if you can walk, you can snowshoe. And that's true. But, like, it is definitely a different and kind of weird experience for your body to have.
Totally. I would say all in all, like, I would definitely go snowshoeing again. As someone who doesn't go skiing or snowboarding because, like, I have a bad knee and I'm deathly afraid of, like, re-tearing my ACL or, like, doing something to mess up my knee. Like, this was something where I was like, okay, I can still go out and enjoy the snow. I love the snow, but I'm not as concerned about, you know, falling to pieces, breaking apart.
Well, that's the thing, right? Because once you're out there, I know it was whiteout conditions, right? But, like, I'm sure you've been to snow before, right? Once you're out in, like, a snowy forest, there's a certain quality of the snowy forest that's so nice and, like, quiet.
Yes. You know? Yes. And you're kind of talking about this in your much different snow experience with your dog mushing, dog sledding time. But yeah, once you're out in that peaceful snow, there is just, like, kind of this calm, this complete silence other than when you're talking with your friends. And, you know, especially when there were these whiteout conditions, it was just like, huh, I'm just, like, in this otherworldly place. And it's really beautiful, and this is all there is in front of me.
Well, I know it's not what you and Cindy envisioned, but walking away from it, like, when you're getting back in the car, driving back to Airbnb, were you feeling like you had a good time? Were you, like, did you think back on it fondly?
Yeah, I think we had spent, like, the perfect amount of time. I forget exactly how long it was, but probably, like, just under 2 hours out there. And it was the perfect amount of time where we were like, okay, we felt like we got a little exercise in. We were completely alone for enough time where, you know, it felt really nice and peaceful in nature. And by the end of it, we're like, all right, like, let's go get a burrito or something. We're hungry.
Yeah, well, so you finished your adventure. Was it back to the Airbnb? Was it back to Seattle? What were the next steps?
Yeah, by that time, we were pretty hungry. We had another night at the Airbnb. This was over Super Bowl weekend. So we planned on, like, watching the Super Bowl, mainly watching Rihanna perform. And so we stopped in between Mount Baker and our Airbnb. We stopped at a place called Waken Bakery, kind of just one of the very, very few dining options in that area. I think there probably were, like, five tops. And they have, like, different breakfast burritos and, like, sandwiches and stuff. But the place was really good. It was also popping because it is one of the only places there. So everyone was, like, coming in from the snow, like, starving. And that place was really good. So highly recommend Waken Bakery. They had a bunch of sweet treats there that I did not try that I would try next time.
You didn't try the sweet treats? I'm shocked.
I know, Jamie. Do I regret it? Yes. Will I be back? Yes.
Just get one to go, throw a cookie in the pocket and head out. You know?
I know. The snow must have clouded my train of thought. there weren't a ton of restaurants, so we kind of just had some groceries and we cooked some food at the Airbnb afterwards. We did go in the hot tub, of course, a million times.
Yeah.
And then the next morning we headed back to Seattle, and that was kind of the trip right there.
Amazing. Well, you've talked about a lot of these places you've gone to eat, the bakeries, but you haven't mentioned what I think is one of the highlights of going up to that part of the country, which is the coffee. Did you have any good coffee anywhere?
Yes. There's a place called Joe's Fine Coffee. It was this kind
Joe's
of...
Joe's Fine Coffee. Okay.
Yes. Yes. They had like a little drive-through attached to it. And of course, it's like one of the only places on these like back roads where you can get coffee. And it's like, where do these people live? Like, what's going on? But yeah, that place is definitely worth stopping at, you know. Only place, but also really good, really tasty. Get caffeinated before your drive back to the city.
I feel like if you're in like, you know, that part of the country around Seattle, especially if you're not serving really good coffee, how do you stay in business?
I know.
I just don't understand.
Oh, I know. It was really good. Even though I was like sore the next day, I was like, I got my coffee. I wasn't even driving. I was just in the back. So it was good.
Well, so I know you mentioned like, you know, maybe snowshoeing again. Do you have anything you're looking at? Any spot in particular maybe you'd want to try it out?
Yeah, well, this might be a spoiler for something we have planned in the Peak Northwest video sphere. But Jamie, you know that you and I were supposed to go to Crater Lake to do some snowshoeing. And that is something I would love to do. In one of the past episodes, I talked about going in October to Crater Lake before there was any snow. And I experienced it on like a pretty warm day. No snow in sight, just biking around Crater Lake. And so I'd love to go there. Maybe not whiteout conditions. I would like to experience a nice like sunny day with snow and do some snowshoeing and maybe get to like a nice vista point overlooking Crater Lake.
It sounds so magical. And that's, you know, we're talking about whiteout conditions ruining a view. That happens at Crater Lake all the time. People go snowshoeing there to see the lake. And sometimes you can't even see it, even from the rim above it. So I think part of snowshoeing, it has to be the experience, the enjoyment of that experience, as you talked about here.
Totally, totally. Do you have any other recommendations or places you've gone?
Well, I mean, there's so many places on Mount Hood, of course, to go snowshoeing.
Yeah.
White River is a popular spot. People snowshoe out to like Frog Lake. There's, you know, a bunch of snow parks. I mean, really any snow park is somewhere beautiful. You have a good amount of snow and some good powder is a good spot to snowshoe. So
yeah.
Obviously Mount Hood's very popular, but like, you know, you go on a weekday in the wintertime, it's a great place to go and get that experience.
Totally. Yeah, I've heard there's some really cool snowshoeing spots where obviously we are lucky to have a ton of waterfalls. So I would love to like just go snowshoeing to a beautiful waterfall and see lots of snow.
Snowshoe to a lake, to a waterfall, to a viewpoint. That's such a good way to get out in the wintertime, like you said, Vicky, without going downhill really fast.
Exactly. Yes. Another great thing about snowshoeing, I will add, is that the trail we did was super dog friendly. And there are a bunch of dogs in their snow gear and their snow boots, some with jackets, some with goggles. God. And they were having the time of their life. So I will definitely use that as an opportunity to take Stella somewhere. Just need to get her some boots and she is good to go for snowshoeing with me.
I can't wait to see those pictures of Stella in snow gear on the trail. Oh my gosh. Well, that will wrap things up for today. But folks, until next time, you can watch our videos on the Oregonians YouTube channel and view all of our outdoors coverage on oregonlive.com/travel, as well as hereisoregon.com.
Please leave us a rating or review if you enjoy the show. And if you want to support this podcast as well as our local journalism, please consider a subscription to Oregon Live. You can find details at oregonlive.com/podsupport. Also, if you're a fan of the show and you are interested in potentially sponsoring it, you can get in touch with our marketing people at advertise@oregonian.com. This episode of the show was produced by me, Vicky Connor, alongside Jamie Hale, Andrew Thien, and Elena Neal Sachs.
Stay safe and happy travels, everyone. Until next time, we leave you with this 10 seconds of Zen.